We're watching two major rulings today. The Supreme Court wrapped up this year's session with a decision that unions can't force non-union public sector government workers to pay a fee for benefits they receive but unions bargain for. It's a big setback for organized labor. And last night, a federal judge ordered the Trump administration to reunite families separated at the border within 30 days if the kids are over five, 14 days if they're under five, a big challenge for the administration.
Meanwhile, a political earthquake was felt in New York last night after 28-year-old progressive first-time candidate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez beat Democratic Party leader and 10-term Congressman Joe Crowley in a primary. Here's Ocasio-Cortez on Morning Edition.
I think for a really long time, voters in this district were yearning for a candidate that spoke directly to them and to our needs.
Our political strategists join us now. Paris Denard, Republican strategist who serves on a Trump Fellowship Commission. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. And Jamal, let me start with you and that race in New York. What do you make of it? What does it mean that this first-time candidate, far on the left, ended up beating this 10-term congressman?
I think that Congressman Joe Crowley is really a fantastic member. He did a good job for the National Democratic Party, but apparently he was not tending to his home garden well enough because he got his clock cleaned by a young woman who came in the door and was able to really pick his pocket. So I think, you know, this is a classic case. We saw it with Eric Cantor. We saw it with Tom Foley back in 1994. We saw Senator Tom Daschle when he was running again for re-election. It is often easy for challengers to like sort of come behind you and pick you. And I think in the Democratic Party, we are seeing a real experiment in whether or not these grassroots candidates with real street appeal are going to be able to win bigger elections. We saw it also in Maryland last night with Ben Jealous, who became the Democratic nominee for governor.
Yeah.
But we saw it in Georgia with Stacey Abrams. We are running a very big experiment on our side. We're going to see how it works.
Well, but Paris Denard, do you think that Republicans should jump on this? I mean, Newt Gingrich, he's tweeted that the radical wing of the Democratic Party is defeating the progressives. She's for Medicare for all, abolishing ICE, abolishing tuition at colleges, ending private or for-profit prisons. Your thoughts?
This is a very unique time for the Democratic Party. They seem to be undergoing sort of an identity crisis and a financial crisis in terms of fundraising and enthusiasm gap. And so I think that they're going to have to figure out how are they going to be a national party running these candidates in the midterm elections, and how are they going to respond to what is turning out to be a successful Trump administration, and more specifically, the policies that are being enacted, especially on the economy. When a recent CNBC poll had 54% of Americans say that the economy is either good or excellent. So that's the backdrop of where Democrats are, coupled with the overwhelming enthusiasm on the part of the Republican Party, the fundraising superiority that the Republicans have, and that you have these Democrat candidates who are so far to the left. They're at the extremes. The question that Jamal said, are they going to be able to win in a general election against a well-financed, great candidates that the Republicans have? It's an experiment, which I think that they're not going to be successful on.
You mean like Corey Stewart in Virginia, who said that he thinks that the Civil War was not about slavery?
So they have their extremists as well. Look, I just want to say Jamal probably already also wants to comment on the success of the Trump administration, but I know we want to get to the other big news of the day.
We don't have time for him to list all those successes.
Well, played, sir. But let's talk, Jamal, about one big success of the Trump administration, which we've seen play out in the last month or so, which is he got Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, and there have been a number of 5-4 decisions that have been very bad for the left. What can Democrats do at this point?
I think the real credit for this goes to Mitch McConnell, the most gangster politician that we've seen in our generation, because he really thugged out on Barack Obama and snatched a Supreme Court seat from him. We all voted for a 4-year presidential term, which allows the president to make appointments. Mitch McConnell said, no, that's only 3 years. Democrats basically laid down and let him do it. And now we are seeing the results of that, which is that they are the Republicans and the conservatives are snatching away the protections, not just of the Obama era, but reaching back to the era of LBJ, the Voting Rights Administration, or going back to even the founding, the separation of church and state and the freedom for religion with the Muslim ban. I mean, I think we are seeing a very big redefinition of American society by the hand of a conservative court.
Paris, is that how you see it?
No, but I think at the end of the day, the American people made a choice, and they knew that if candidate Trump was going to be elected, he would appoint a conservative-minded person to the Supreme Court, and he did that in Neil Gorsuch. And I think it's been a great win for free enterprise and conservative-type thinking Americans who believe that the decisions that they're making are positive ones. Elections have consequences, and this is one consequence that is a positive one. And so as we move forward, you know, how do Democrats respond? Have a candidate that inspires you to come out and vote.
Couldn't you also say, though, that the election of President Obama had a consequence, which was that he got to appoint a Supreme Court justice during his term?
Two of them, in fact. Right.
Exactly. No, exactly. And that is a consequence. That's why I think that you saw so many people make the issue of Supreme Court appointments and the federal bench such a critical one for this election in 2016. Mm-hmm. And that's why you had a lot of people say, you know what? I think Donald Trump is going to be the candidate to put these conservatives on the bench. And which we saw early on in the administration, he put out list after list of all the people who he was going to put on these federal positions on the bench that were conservative. He keeps putting them out there. And so people knew ahead of time exactly where he stood. And I think that was comforting to a lot of people.
Look, I want to ask you both where you think we are on what some might say is another consequence of this election, which is civility. Where are we on that? On Monday, Labor Secretary Elaine Chao was overheard telling several young men to leave her husband, Mitch McConnell, the speaker, alone. They were accusing him of separating families at the border. How does he sleep at night? How does he sleep at night? He's, of course, the majority leader in the Senate. Jamal, start with you. What would you advise Democrats? Are they losing the moral high ground by, you know, shouting at McConnell, shouting at the Homeland Security head, a woman in a restaurant owners asking another woman, Sarah Sanders, to leave a restaurant because she's the mouthpiece for Trump policies? Is this working for Democrats?
So this is something I'm really torn about personally, because I understand the emotional desire to want to go and disrupt the day of someone who you think is destroying the country and sending children to camps where they are being held, perhaps drugged. In some cases, we've read all kinds of horrible stories. I understand why people want to do that. Here's the thing. I think also we have to do that in a way that is constructive. I don't have a problem with people standing outside of a restaurant and shouting at a politician or engaging a politician when they leave. Going inside the restaurant and disrupting their dinner might be a line too far. People have a right to advocate to their government and to protest the people in their government wherever they are. But we probably should have some limits on that, because that worm can turn and it could also end up disrupting a lot of progressives who I agree with and the people around them.
Well, but Paris, on the other hand, didn't President Trump set this tone? Cable's having a field day with the montages of the president and as a candidate threatening to beat people up or pay his supporters if, you know, they beat people up. Name calling world leaders as a president. You know, some would say, you know, he's the crude bully who, for instance, is against, you know, gay people being able to go into an establishment and have a cake made for them. So isn't this fair turnaround?
No. And I think, just to set the record straight, it wasn't the fact that it was a gay person who wanted to make a cake. It was the fact that they wanted the cake for their wedding.
Right.
And so
right.
I think that's a religious issue that Christians that look at the Bible that the owner had against actually making the cake for their wedding.
But still, it was prohibiting people.
I think Supreme Court has spoken on that, so I think that's a done deal. But I think when you look at what we see now, President Trump, I don't think is if you're saying that President Trump is somehow responsible or the reason why you have so many people like Congresswoman Maxine Waters and Chelsea Clinton calling for people to protest and be against the president in London, and the reason why a young African American man with a Make America Great Again hat can be pushed out of a restaurant, a cheesecake factory, and verbally assaulted, and now the co-owner of the Red Hen can go in and kick somebody out of a restaurant, and how you can heckle have somebody who works in the administration heckle a person in the restaurant, MXDC. I mean, I don't think the president is responsible for that.
He is absolutely responsible, Perry.
No,
I'm sorry.
Not.
I want to sit here and listen to this, but I got to tell you, the president of the United States set this tone from the top during his campaign and all the way through. He went after people He said, if you assault them, I will help pay for the legal fees. He set the tone. And this is the chicken coming home to roost. When the president says it's okay to say and do anything, you end up with people saying and doing anything, and it's hurting our national discourse.
Well, the interesting thing about your point, Jamal, is that Republicans aren't doing that. The examples that we've been seeing—
Because the president's doing it.
No, well, the president's
actually,
not doing
I just
these
want
things.
To jump in
it is
to
Democrats
say,
who are doing
but
these
Paris,
things.
But, Paris, what about the woman who confronted the man who was doing leaves and said that he was a rapist? The president said so. He is Hispanic. He's a software engineer. I mean, she was following the words of the president.
And she was wrong. And the president did not.
And the president was wrong.
No, the president was not wrong.
So he wasn't wrong when he said that Mexico's only sending rapists here?
That's not what he said. He said some of the people that they send over here are rapists, are killers, et cetera. And there are examples of people who have been illegal immigrants.
He was wrong when he called them animals. He was wrong when he said they're infesting the country.
He was wrong when he said they were invading the country.
Let me
be very clear. He was right when he called the MS-13 gang members animals, because that's exactly what they are. And I think the parents and the families who have been infected by them would call
there.
Them animals as well.
You hear the music coming up. That's Paris Denard, Republican strategist, and Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Thanks to both of you.